Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's anniversary sale with Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Live from the Play Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Got Stuart Kovacs, got Moist Mike. We're all rocking and rolling all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Antoine Walker slated to stop by today. Braden Fisk, the Florida State defensive tackle, is projected to be a first-round pick, is going to join us coming up in studio an hour from now. I'm calling today Christmas in March. The Drama Dallas choking Cowboys are the gift that keep on giving. And I'll be fully transparent right out of the gate. We were going to talk about the Cowboys today for one segment. I did not think we'd be starting off the show until 30 minutes ago talking about the Drama Dallas choking Cowboys. The reason we were initially going to talk about them is Jerry Jones, who not that long ago said, the Dallas Cowboys are all in this offseason. The other day when he was scribbling on his notepad and was talking to the media, he then said, I think that we have been in a situation where we can get it done with less. And we all know the Cowboys have had a rather pedestrian offseason. An offseason where there was supposed to be flair, where there were supposed to be big explosive signings. There were supposed to be big trades that were happening because the Cowboys were all in. And as Skip Bayless put it, they were all in, comma, my ass. But now here we are, as we're at the NFL owners' meetings, and we're gearing up about a month away from the NFL draft, and the Dallas Cowboys are not all in. The Dallas Cowboys are now having a timid approach. The Dallas Cowboys are now telling you, oh, Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott are going to have to get it done with less. And then, oh yeah, by the way, we got this piece of information from Ian Rappaport that the Cowboys and quarterback Dak Prescott have a mutual understanding of his contract situation, sources say, with no offers from Dallas despite him being in a contract year. Owner Jerry Jones said, we are where we are, locked and loaded for this year. And then Rap Sheet adds, no indication a deal is coming. And I heard Adam Schefter say this earlier, that the time to get a deal done with Dak Prescott was before free agency. Because if, in fact, the Cowboys were seriously all in, well, you knew the cap hit for Dak Prescott was $60-something million. Now, they trimmed like $4 or $5 million off for this year on the cap hit by doing a slight renegotiation, but that's not enough to move the needle and move the finances for this team to be legitimately all in. And, oh yeah, by the way, if you're not familiar with Dak Prescott's contract, he's not only in the final year of his deal, but he has a no-trade clause, and also he has a no-tag clause. So I look at this two ways. Let's look at it from the Cowboys side first, and then the Dak Prescott side. I know Jerry Jones loves the drama. I know Jerry Jones loves the hype. I know he likes to wait as long as possible for whatever the reasons are, as we saw from the last negotiations with Dak, to get the deal done. And that's not how you treat a star quarterback. And I've been critical of Dak. I've sat here show after show and said, Dak's just a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. You don't win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott, in my opinion. But you could do a lot worse than Dak Prescott. And when you have a quarterback that's stuck in that good but not great category consistently, it does make it tough to move on from the quarterback. So with the Cowboys doing nothing to Dak Prescott's contract and not giving him an extension, when many thought they would when the offseason started, and then you also add that up and mix it in with Mike McCarthy being on the final year of his contract, I think the only way you could say it is this is Jerry Jones saying to Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy, it's time to put up or shut up. But it's ironic to say that Jerry Jones is saying that it's put up or shut up because he never shuts up. And he's the one that a month and a half ago was saying, we're all in, the Cowboys are all in. And now, pretty much Dak and Mike, they got to find a way to make it work with less. So it almost feels like the Dallas Cowboys are getting ready for a divorce, and the Dallas Cowboys are trying to put all the pressure on Dak and McCarthy, and they're saying, guys, if you are really the quarterback for this team moving forward, if you're really the head coach of this team moving forward, and you are the franchise-altering coach and quarterback duo, it doesn't matter who we put on the field. You have to find a way to get it done. It doesn't matter if you don't have Brandon Cooks. It doesn't matter if you don't have Michael Gallup. It doesn't matter that Tony Pollard leaves in free agency. In this league, we talk about quarterbacks and we talk about head coaching the most. 9.9 times out of 10 on a football Monday coming off a football Sunday, the lead segment is which coach screwed up, which quarterback screwed up, which quarterback succeeded, and then which coach succeeded. So this feels like, and I can't trust Jerry Jones, because Jerry Jones says one thing, it goes in one ear, out the other, and you kind of roll your eyes and take everything that he says with a grain of salt, but not giving Dak Prescott an extension and having him go into the final year of his deal, and it lines up with Mike McCarthy being in the final year of his deal, that both of these guys feel like they're lame duck head coaches and lame duck quarterbacks, and how you would evaluate what a lame duck coach and a lame duck quarterback is, that's what it feels like Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott are. And I have to ask this question. What's the standard for the Cowboys this year? Because I've said this numerous times. The Cowboys, I think in the last 15 years, they put more of an emphasis on the drama and how many headlines they could build up and how many clicks that they could register on social media, that if they dominate those spaces, those are the wins. It's not how most football teams and most sane football teams evaluate success, and that's winning and losing on the field. And for the Cowboys, they could easily, this upcoming season, go win 10, 11, 12 games. Heck, they've won 12 straight games the last three straight seasons. But come playoff time, they choke. And not only do they choke, they don't even show up. Like this past year, they didn't show up against the Green Bay Packers. That offense didn't show up in San Francisco 2 years ago. 3 years ago against San Francisco, that team didn't show up in the first half. And then they projectile vomited all over themselves at the end of the game where they couldn't get the snap off. And there have been scapegoats. We've gone from Jason Garrett. We've gone to Kellen Moore. There's been a ton of scapegoats. But now going into this season, it just appears by not doing a lot in free agency, not extending McCarthy, not extending Dak Prescott, and saying you still believe in them. Well, do you really believe in them? Or are you trying to see with their backs up against the wall after getting them help and then a lot of that help leaving if Dak and McCarthy are the bona fide quarterback and head coach of this franchise? That's what it seems like the Cowboys are doing. But once again, how do we measure success? Because if you're telling me it's Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys and you're not going to extend McCarthy or Dak without a Super Bowl this year, well, then Dak and McCarthy, start thinking about where you're going to be coaching and playing already. Because this team isn't winning a Super Bowl. This team doesn't even have, in my opinion, even in a weak NFC, a great chance of making an NFC title game. Heck, this organization hasn't made an NFC title game since the 1995 season. Forget about a Super Bowl. And I don't give a rat's ass what the Cowboys do next year in the regular season. Because until they get the job done in the postseason, I'd be the biggest moron and the biggest fool on the planet to think that something's going to be different, especially when the team is now worse entering this season. So that's the message. And it's a weird message, and it's been an inconsistent message because you've praised Dak, you've praised McCarthy, you say you're going to be all in. Now they have to win with less. Now you don't give either an extension. Do you really believe in them? Because Jerry Jones could say he believes in them, but it doesn't feel like he believes in them. And then there's the other side of this. Dak has an incredible amount of leverage from the last contract negotiation with the Cowboys and now this contract negotiation with the Dallas Cowboys. Because Dak now controls all the cards. Dak Prescott has a no-trade clause in his contract in the final year of his deal. Dak Prescott has a no-tag clause in his contract. So if Dak Prescott is saying to himself, man, there's a lot of drama. You hear what Dalton Schultz said, how different it is with the Houston Texans compared to the Dallas Cowboys with how their building operates compared to how our building operates. Jerry Jones could essentially challenge Dak and McCarthy going into the season. But Dak could also challenge Jerry Jones' bluff. You played around the last time. Now you're playing around this time. Dak's a good but not great quarterback. You know, ranks anywhere from 8 to like 13 in the NFL, let's say. There'll be a market for Dak Prescott. Even though I don't love Dak Prescott as a quarterback, we have seen worse quarterbacks than Dak Prescott hit the open market or become available via trade. And there are plenty of suitors. And if Dak becomes available, and if he wants to, he'll become available next year because he is a free agent. And they can't tag him. Dak has the ability to leave the Dallas Cowboys. And quite frankly, Dak Prescott, I get it. You're the face of America's team right now. You've made a ton of money. But if you truly care about winning, if you want to try to win a Super Bowl, and I think there's limitations in your game, but there's also limitations on what you could accomplish in Dallas. Because for the last 30 years, this team hasn't come close to sniffing a Super Bowl. This team hasn't come close to being in an NFC title game because their ceiling is win one playoff game and then not show up in the second round. So Jerry Jones wants to play this game. Jerry Jones doesn't want to get a deal done this offseason. Dak Prescott, I would say, let me go get respected. Like, let me go play somewhere else where there's a team that prioritizes actually winning rather than just dominating the back pages of newspapers or dominating how many clicks that they could register on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram. So you have an out, Dak Prescott. And there's a lot of good when you could be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. But there's also a lot of inane BS that you have to deal with. And you get paid a king's ransom. And that's what happens when you get paid a king's ransom. But I'd be more than happy if I was a Dak Prescott. Let's say if the Vikings can't get a quarterback this offseason in the draft, going to team up with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson. Just for starters. There will be many suitors for Dak Prescott. At least five suitors that I can think of right off the top of my head if he becomes available next offseason. And Dak, you have a decision to make. Jerry has a decision to make. Jerry has a decision if he wants to pay you again. You have a decision. Do you want to continue to put up with all that comes with being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys? And I'm starting to think the best situation for Dak is to play this year out, see what happens, and at the end of this season, if you feel like the priority in Dallas, which it's been for a long time, is more about the drama and the headlines than winning football games, I would tell Jerry, thanks for the relationship, thanks for the love, thanks for the time together, but I'm breaking up with you. You're not breaking up with me. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. What do you make of the future of Dak Prescott with the Dallas Cowboys? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll take a break. We should be joined by Antoine Walker on the other side. What's going on with the Celtics? Number one seed by a wide margin in the East, but they blew a 30-point lead last night. And also, we'll check in with Antoine Walker about his Kentucky Wildcats. Should John Calipari remain the head coach? Back after these short messages. Antoine Walker, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. How you been?
I've been good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. So let me start you off with your Wildcats. Disappointing first round of the NCAA tournament. I thought this team was primed and ready to go make a championship run. Just how do you process it days later after their crushing defeat in round one to Oakland?
It's tough. Obviously, very talented group. But when you play a lot of freshmen, this is what can happen. It's going to be tough to compete against an older team, a team that's mature, that have been in those situations before. Maybe not in the NCAA tournament, but have been in a lot of meaningful games. And we have freshmen on the team that hadn't been there before. And sometimes you don't understand the magnitude of the game until you actually get in it. So I think that's what it is. And it's unfortunate because we had a very talented group, very good group. But it's tough because these guys may not return and get another crack at it.
Do you think the approach, Antoine, needs to change where you go away from the one-and-dones and try to bring in guys that are going to stay for 3-4 years?
That's always tough. Obviously, Cal has done a terrific job of coaching and bringing in terrific talent. You don't want to lose that. I mean, nobody wants to coach and not have talent. So you want to continue to bring in top-tier talent and try to get over the hump. I just think now the game has changed and the landscape of college basketball has changed. So you got to adjust to that. Cal has done a terrific job of coaching these young men and getting them to their ultimate goal of being pros. I mean, not sure how many pros he has, but I'm pretty sure that number's up there, 40 or 50 guys in the league, especially since he's joined Kentucky. So it's tough because obviously you want to see guys stay 2, 3, 4 years and, you know, make great runs and have a chance to win national titles, but you got a lot of talented guys that are going to go pro. I only did 2 years myself, so I understand it from a player's perspective, but I also understand it from a university perspective that wants to continue to win.
People are wondering if Cal should be on the hot seat, if he should return as the coach. Are you still all in on John Calipari, Antoine Walker?
Oh, yes, I'm definitely still all in. I just think we have to understand that the landscape has just changed. It's you know, he's one of the best at doing and bringing in talent and maximizing and making good runs. But, you know, it's going to be tough, I mean, because you're going to play older teams with the transfer portal and things like that. It's going to be tough to win it all. But I'm still all in on Cal. You can't be the guy who's bringing in that type of talent every year. And giving guys, from a selfish point of view, giving players an opportunity to make it to the next level. I mean, you know, sometimes that's what it's all about.
Do you still think this team, you know, moving forward, this program under Cal can win a championship? Because we talked about it, right? The changing landscape, and he's won a championship at Kentucky. He got to another championship game where I think they lost to UConn. But now the last few years, right, they missed the tourney. They lose to St. Peter's, lose in the round of 32, lose to Oakland. Do you still think one day he could get this into a spot where Kentucky is hoisting an NCAA championship again?
I think so because of the NIL, because guys are now having the opportunity to make money playing. You may be able to get guys to stay 2-3 years now. So I think the opportunity is going to be there again because of the NIL space and because you're going to be a guy to be able to make money in school. And it won't be such an urgency to go to the NBA. They'll get a chance to play in college for multiple years. So I think he will have another chance to do it. It's just a matter of convincing guys and understanding the fun nature of playing the NCAA tournament and being a part of that legacy is to make sure guys want to be a part of that.
Talking to Antoine Walker. All righty, let me get to your Celtics. I know they blew a 30-point game last night, but they are the number one seed right in the East. They've been dominating every team in the Eastern Conference. When you look at the standings right now, where's your confidence level that this could be the year that they hang another banner with the Boston Celtics?
Oh, I love it. I think, obviously, the addition of Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis is great. Jalen and Jason, another year under their belt, has been the two main guys on the team. I love it. I think it's as good as ever. This season, they're deep. They can play 8, 9, 10 guys, play in multiple different ways. Whether you need to score 120, they can do that. I think if they have to get 100, you know, they can play in a game where they can defend. They got great defenders with Holiday and Jaylen Brown. So I like this team. I think they can not only make a run this year, but for the next couple of years. And you see that, obviously, the way they've dominated this season and being the number one seed right now in the Eastern Conference.
Who do you think the biggest challenger is in the East? Is it still Milwaukee, even though they had to bring in Doc Rivers this year after firing their coach?
Oh, it's definitely Milwaukee. I mean, Giannis, so we know how great he is. And then you add a guy like Dame, a guy who can close games out and finish. And a guy who hasn't made a deep run in the playoffs in a while, he's hungry. And then Doc, too. I mean, we know Doc is a great basketball mind offensively, can put those guys in very good spots where they can be very good offensively. So Milwaukee is definitely the biggest challenge.
Talking to Antoine Walker right now. When we look at the entire landscape of the NBA, East and West, I still think the team to beat is the defending champs with the Denver Nuggets. Is that the team that you have the most confidence in to raise that Larry O'Brien trophy coming up in June?
Out West, yeah. I still like the Celtics. I think, you know, obviously Denver's going to have to go to them if they get there. I mean, teams out West are going to have to go through Denver, of course. But I still think from top to bottom, and not being biased, but being looking at it from a purely basketball point of view, I just think the Celtics have everything you need. I think they're deep. I think they got, you know, two guys that can really go get it done and have huge nights. The complementary pieces are there in Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. So, and I just think all of the stars are aligned for the Celtics to make a deep run. And obviously, if we get to the finals and if Denver's there, I wouldn't be surprised. I know Denver, the way they play as a team and obviously the way Joker's playing, they got to be the favorites to come out the West.
Talking to Antoine Walker for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show. LeBron could opt out at the end of the year. Do you think he stays in L.A. or do you think he tries to go somewhere else?
I would hope he stay in L.A., just finish it out. I mean, I think LeBron has to make a real decision based on what direction the team is going. When you look at you're fighting for play-in situations, you know, 8th, 9th seed. I mean, I think LeBron James' legacy, that's not what we want to see it at. Obviously, this year was really important. I think reaching 40,000 points and playing long enough to be able to do that. He's done that. He's obviously won multiple championships. So I think he has to start to look at that. If we're not going to be competing at the highest level, and I mean being a top four team in the Western Conference, I just think it's hard for him to get that motor and engine and mentally prepare yourself to continue to play.
I want to ask you about two other players right now. Zion is very quietly having a good season. And then you look at Anthony Edwards, what he's been able to do with the Timberwolves. Just what have your thoughts been on Zion Williamson and Anthony Edwards right now?
I'm so excited for Zion Williams. I think taking all the criticism that he's had to take over the last couple of years, and now to be have a team that's going to, you know, comfortably in the playoffs and him playing great. Kudos to him, and hopefully he can build and continually work to be the best player possible, because I am a huge fan of him. And Anthony Edwards is another great star, but I hope Anthony Edwards can stay in Minnesota. We saw Kevin Garnett take that franchise and make a deep run in the playoffs, but obviously it's been very difficult to continue to keep talent in Minnesota. So hopefully Anthony Edwards is starting something great there. We know Carl Anthony Towns is there, and they got a nice little duo going right there. But Anthony Davis can be one of the next great players to play in this league. He's obviously showing that, and that next generation of great players.
Last thing I want to ask you, just using your athlete cap here, as I wrap it up with Antoine Walker on the Zach Gelb show, we've seen in baseball the Shohei Ohtani situation with his interpreter, and then yesterday the story about Jonte Porter and the allegations there, or the investigation that's going on. How much of an issue do you think this will be moving forward, where you have athletes, right, and there's going to be people that are going to be approaching them, and you have circles that you don't know who to trust, really, even in your own circle? When it comes to gambling, what do you think the challenges are for not only college athletes but also professional athletes moving forward?
I think the leagues have to put a more stronger – I mean, obviously have this has to be addressed internally with the teams and organizations. Your players' unions have to step up and let players know how serious this is and how it could cost you your career. I think now with all of the betting and all these different sites and websites and things that's going on, you got to address it now. I think it's just a early wake-up call for them to really get on top of guys and make sure they understand the severity of that and what's the consequences, and make sure that they don't get involved in it, because there's so many different ways to bet and be a part of these sporting events. We have to probably really hone in on it. And the unions of all these leagues are going to have to go back in and make sure guys understand the rules, what you can and cannot do, what you cannot be a part of, and it's something that needs to be addressed. This is just an early wake-up call to get everybody involved and understand that they cannot do that.
He is Antoine Walker. Antoine, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for carving out a few minutes for us today.
All right, thanks for having me on the show.
There he is, Antoine Walker, joining us. Good stuff on the gambling stuff at the end of the conversation, and a defense of John Calipari, still thinking he's the right guy for the Kentucky Wildcats. Let's do this. We'll take a break right here. We'll come on back. I want to pick back up when we return in 5 minutes in regards to Shohei Ohtani. I guess you could still say speaking to reporters. The reporters weren't able to ask him any questions, but he did speak to reporters yesterday and issued a statement through his new translator. And there's two things that are still unanswered, and I have a lot of questions still in regards to Shohei Ohtani's involvement in this. We'll get to it on the other side. Update time first, though. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This week's player is UConn big man Donovan Klingon. In UConn's 75-58 win over Northwestern on Sunday, the 7'2" sophomore had 8 blocks and 14 rebounds. UConn as a team held Northwestern to just 37% shooting from the field. Also, UConn in that game did not shoot the ball well, and they still won 75-58. Which is just absolutely bonkers. I'll give you my opinion on Shohei Ohtani in just a second, but first let me go to the phones, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Simon in Chicago, next up on CBS Sports Radio. Simon, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Doing great. What do you got for us?
Hey, so I was wondering, it looks like, I'm a big Bears fan, it looks like the Bears have kind of backed themselves in this corner, and I'm not saying Caleb Williams is not the answer. He looks great, you know, he looked great in college, but they've kind of backed themselves in this corner by trading away Fields. Then now they're kind of forced to take Caleb against their will, and they can't really go ahead and do their due diligence on other players, and it doesn't really look like they're doing their due diligence on the other players like Jaden Daniels, you know, Drake May, and they have to take Caleb because the fan base is just going to murder them if they don't. And we see this happen time and time again where this outstanding, you know, godly prospect ends up just being horrible. And, you know, Bryce
Do you think
Jones
it's the wrong
year.
Decision, though? Like,
I don't know if it's the wrong decision, but I think they have to at least take their time and look into the other two guys.
But there was – so here's the thing, and appreciate the phone call, Simon. There was no chance Justin Fields, no matter what any of us said in the past or thought, there was no way that the Bears front office was going to run it back with Fields. And I was someone that made the argument in like late October, early November, that maybe they should trade the pick and get all those resources back. But as time did go on, you looked at the new contract he would inevitably have to get. Yeah, you restart the time clock with a player that has a higher ceiling. Caleb Williams has a higher ceiling than Justin Fields. So you could have said, yeah, hold on to Justin Fields, wait until someone gets desperate and an injury happens to trade for a quarterback. That's fine. But I don't think Ryan Poles hasn't done his due diligence here. You know, I'm sure he'll do work on Jaden Daniels. I'm sure he'll do work on J.J. McCarthy. I'm sure he'll do work on Drake May. But he knows who the pick is. We've known who the first overall pick is going to be for the last 2 years for this draft class, for the draft class of 2024. It was going to be Caleb Williams, just like how we knew years ago that it was going to be Trevor Lawrence. And sometimes it doesn't work. And sometimes you have this highly praised prospect that doesn't meet the hype. But it doesn't mean that picking him was the wrong decision. So I can't crush the Bears here. And I understand Bears fan by nature. Like, Simon, you should be paranoid. You should expect the worst thing to happen. You should be like Samter when he was a Jet fan. You should be like Stu as a Raiders fan. Because you have been tortured fan bases. The Bears haven't had a quarterback in, I don't know, forever. So, yeah, no crap. Even when you think you have the guy, that you should always have some skepticism. But I'm not going to fault the Bears process here. I just won't do it. All righty. Let's get to the Shohei Ohtani press conference. And I'll preface it by saying this. I thought it was extremely weak when it was announced yesterday that he was just going to deliver a statement and take no questions. Now, I understand probably most of the questions he couldn't answer because this is going to be a pending litigious matter. And whenever something is pending in the legal world and there's a lot of unknown, it behooves Shohei Ohtani to say less. But I still think you have to at least have some questions asked. Because the two things I wanted to hear from Shohei Ohtani the most yesterday, when you hear his story that Ipe Mizuhara, the interpreter, his close friend, stole money from Shohei Ohtani to pay the bookmaker, and that's what they're trying to tell you. But earlier, Ipe was saying that, no, Shohei was being a good friend, and he offered to pay off all the debt, and we were going to get through this together. So wherever that disconnect was, or trying to push back on Ipe, and I don't trust Ipe whatsoever, and I will give Ohtani the benefit of the doubt, and I may be naive here, that he wasn't gambling, and that this was Ipe, and right, both sides have said that Ipe did not gamble on baseball. That, I don't know how much I believe, but I'm just telling you what's out there. I needed to know two things from Ohtani yesterday. Number one, how did Ipe get access to your account? Maybe there's an answer to that. But Shohei Ohtani, I guess you could say it was a 12-minute press conference. It's really six because it was half him and half the new interpreter, which, by the way, I don't know about you guys, and Samter did a good job editing this down. There were times I think the interpreter was even confused about Ohtani with what he was saying. There was a few times the interpreter did stumble. Now, he did have his pen out. He was writing things down. But there was a few times where even the interpreter wasn't making great sense. And I know it's low-hanging fruit. I'm sure it was interpreted as close as possible. And someone could fact-check this. But I don't know. I don't understand, right, what Ohtani's saying until the interpreter says something. I wonder how much Rob Manfred or someone in the Dodgers organization was in the interpreter's ear. They had an earpiece on him just saying, hey, go with the script. We told you what we want you to say. If Ohtani's deviating from the script, go back to it.
And listen, I'll let you continue on, but like you would think that if Ohtani's reading off of a statement and not deviating off a statement,
the interpreter,
that the interpreter has the exact same statement in English, that all he has to do is, okay, here's what Ohtani said, boom, here's the next line. So I don't know why there was any confusion whatsoever, but it'd be interesting if there was like separate Japanese interpreters or people who speak Japanese who were listening to it be like, that's not what he was saying.
Yeah, could you imagine? That would be hilarious. So I never got the answer yesterday. in this 12-minute waste of a press conference on how Ipe got access to Ohtani's account. The other thing. So originally it was reported that there was two wire transfers, allegedly, in Ohtani's name to this bookmaker, and it was $500,000 each, totaling of $1 million. Now everyone's saying that it was $4.5 million that was taken from Shohei Ohtani. So regardless of if it was $1 million or if it was $4.5 million, that's still, even with Ohtani and how much he just signed for, that's still a decent amount of money to go missing from your bank account. Like, I can't compare here. I don't make the salary. But when Zach Gelb sees $20 go missing from his bank account, I'm aware $20 is missing from my damn bank account. So whether Ohtani is managing his finances or not, and it's not just him. So, like, let's say Ohtani's not managing the day-to-day of all of his finances. I'm assuming he has someone hired. How the heck did someone not sooner realize that anywhere between $1 million to $4.5 million is missing from Shohei Ohtani's account? So I left yesterday getting nothing that I wanted answered or addressed. And I clearly don't trust Ipe, where he lied about previous teams he worked for. He lied about the college that he attended or didn't attend. I saw all that was going around. So Ipe has his own issues. I already went into yesterday not believing Ipe. But I went into yesterday wanting to give Shohei Ohtani the benefit of the doubt. And I thought yesterday was a waste of my time, Stu's time, Samter's time, and I don't know, everybody's time. Because he didn't answer the two most important questions. And that was, how did Ipe have access to your account? And how didn't you, Shohei, or your financial advisors not realize the money was missing? So there's a lack of trust here. I don't trust Ipe. I don't trust Ohtani. I don't trust anyone involved in this. And there has to be more here. There has to be more information that we're not told. And if the first story is true by Ipe, that Ohtani offered to pay off his debt and he was being a good friend, I understand there could be legal problems and things also associated with that. But I think most of us would say, oh, that's a pretty cool thing that Ohtani's doing. And we're going to be slamming Ohtani. But once you change the story and then your story is that Ohtani stole from you, I'm like, or Ipe stole from you, I'm like, none of this is adding up. And yesterday was an opportunity, and I understand you're not going to tell us everything, but yesterday was an opportunity to somewhat set the record straight. And nothing was set straight yesterday. So let me play you a few audio clips here. And there's one in particular that we'll get to in the three cuts that we have that brings up another point where this whole thing is backwards. But let's go in order, Stu. Play me the first Ohtani cut in his statement.
I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
So, okay. You once again reiterate that Ipe was stealing money from your account and lied. Okay, we already knew that. Cut number two.
Last weekend in Korea, media has reached out to a representative in my camp inquiring about my potential involvement in this sports betting. Ipe never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry. Ipe told to the media and to my representatives that I, on behalf of a friend, paid off debt. Upon further questioning, it was revealed that it was actually, in fact, Ipe who was in debt and told my representatives that I was paying off those debts. All of this has been a complete lie.
And then here is the last audio clip that raises a lot of questions for me. Go ahead, Stu.
The first time I knew about Ipe's gambling was after the first game when we had the team meeting in the clubhouse. So during the team meeting, obviously, Ipe was speaking in English and I didn't have a translator on my side. But even with that, I kind of understood what was going on and started to feel that there was something amiss. up until that team meeting, I didn't know that Ipe had a gambling addiction and was in debt. And obviously, I did not never agreed to pay off the debt or, you know, make payments to the bookmaker. In conclusion, I do want to make it clear that I never betted on sports or have willfully sent money to the bookmaker.
So that was Shohei Ohtani through his new interpreter. That last audio clip is one that leaves me just mystified here. So this is your close, dear friend of so many years, Ipe Mizuhara. And the first time Shohei Ohtani finds out about this entire situation is when Ipe addresses the team a week ago when they opened up the season after their first game. The only reason why I kind of believe that is because they were in the dugout, like smiling, laughing, having a good time. And you wouldn't think that if Ohtani knew that, that you would be that close with that person still. But that is wild to me. Like, if I was trying to rectify a wrong, and let's say Ipe did steal from Ohtani, did all these wrong things, and how close you were to Shohei, don't you pull Ohtani aside before the meeting and tell him what the heck happened? Instead of just saying, yeah, I'm going to say some things here. There's going to be a lot to talk about. Let's just talk after the meeting. Like, huh? If that was my friend, I'm saying, no, before you talk to my team, we're sitting down and we're figuring out what the heck happened. Because Ohtani here looks like an idiot because this is his guy that's doing all these things allegedly, and he has no damn clue. And the first time he actually finds out about this and has, like, an actual understanding of what's going on somewhat is when Ipe addresses the team. That, to me, Samter, is the most ludicrous part of all of this, how a lot of people knew, but the guy whose money it is and the guy who's the face of Major League Baseball and the guy who is this close with Ipe was the last one to know. That's wild.
I will say this. If I was stealing millions of dollars from my friend, I wouldn't really want to be talking to him. Hey,
but you're already getting outed. You already were outed and you're talking to the team. You got to give him a heads up here.
Yes, but I think at that point, I mean, I've been stealing from my friend all kind of integrity and all kind of forewarning to my friend.
Yeah, maybe I'll give
more
credit.
The window. I'm kind of a scumbag. I'm kind of a loser. I've already stolen from my friend. I'd rather do it in front of other people rather than one-on-one with him, and maybe he'll just strangle me to death.
Yeah, there's no way of rectifying this. There's no way. Because even if Ohtani was in on it, now he can't be in on it with how much that this has blown up and how inconsistent the stories are. But that was a waste of everybody's time yesterday. Because, I think you could answer how Ipe had access to the finances. But they didn't. But that last part to me, not only with the way that people found out, but the other part, when you look back at this, I still want to know the answer to that question of how was no one notifying Ohtani that all this money was missing. How are there no checks and balances here? No pun intended. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's anniversary sale with Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Instacart shoppers know groceries. They know that you can't make guacamole with rock-hard avocados. They know how to quickly find those peanut butter pretzels you can never find. And they keep you in the know by giving you updates about your order along the way. Let Instacart shoppers help take shopping off your plate so you can get time and energy back for what really matters. Visit instacart.com or download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply. Instacart. Add life to cart.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
it.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.